Aloha and welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here on Talk808.com. We got an interesting show this morning, and we're going to be talking with a former employee of the Board of Water Supply, Mr. Nathan Cowell. And we're going to be tossing around quite a few things regarding the activities and behavior at the Board of Water Supply, something you might be interested in. So tune in and right here on Talk808.com, and we'll have a hefty enlightening of by Mr. Cowell. So thank all of you for joining me, and we're going to be just holding off here. And anyway, make for an interesting conversation. We know the Board of Water Supply has had a number of concerns and issues with charging, and many of us have complained about having high costs of water rates and bills, and we're wondering where are they coming from, and how are we getting, let's say, some people are complaining they show they use 10,000 gallons of water per month, yet they're the only ones that live at the residence. Or some have even had bills towering into the thousands or $1,000 for a period of time. So we're going to hopefully talk about all of that and get it cleared out with Nathan and everything that he wants to share with us. But there's been a case, actually, before the it was the Hawaii Labor Relations Board. And it was raised some of the issues that the Hawaii Government Employees Association asked me, AFSCME, Local 152, AFL-CIO. Kirk Caldwell is one of the people that is named in this complaint, County of Honolulu, Ernest Lau, Manager and Chief of Engineer of Board of Water Supply, Ellen Kitamura, Deputy Manager and Chief Engineer of the Board of Water Supply, Carol E. Kubo, Director and Department of Human Resources, City and County of Honolulu, and Noel Ono, Assistant Director of Department of Human Resources. So what I'm hearing about this, that they had a hearing conference scheduled on Friday, December 15, 2017, around 1:30. But what we were hearing is that this case is yet to be heard and is not making any progress as it was described to me. So we'll hopefully get to know the real truth and what was really going on with this. And then Nathan is going to call in and we'll be talking and hopefully get everything. There's some things that intrigue me and interest me because, you know, over the years we've talked about the automatic reading meters, automatic meter readers. And so Nathan was actually a person who, a meter reader, upper level, that had 37 years in the Board of Water Supply. And so he's seen quite a bit and some interesting things that he shared with me. And hopefully we can extract from him, I use the term loosely, extract. He's willing to talk about it. He says this is something that he has been, it's like watching a train wreck unfold right before your eyes and nothing you can do because, you know, the retaliation and firing and hardship that they can cause if you spoke out. But he said that it was difficult watching the various complaints come in. And then the complaints would be dismissed or pinned on the Board of Water Supply meter readers. Everything that went bad, jokingly, he said, was directly and blamed on the meter readers. So I'm hoping that he can get into that and share with us all of that. the error rate, as he said, talked to us about it, tossed about 33% at one time. And that means that the automatic meter reading, the machines or the tools, and we call that in the question too, while back, the meter readers and their accuracy. And the meter readers, they are accurate. It's the meter reading machines or the little gadgets they place on them that prove to be inaccurate or were hindered by, and in some instances, low batteries or mud or water or impacted by the elements or blocked by the trees and trucks and cars that were be parked there. Just all of that. So, and another thing he shared with us, and what he said was that this whole effort, if there was, as I've said, if something went wrong and it was negatively conveyed in the public, the ones that took the brunt of the complaints or the blame, it was always focused on, I'm told, it was focused on the meter readers. So all the ailments and all the woes and all of the difficulties, it all come back, and they were using the meter readers as scapegoats, by the way. That's what the claim is. So whatever took place that was negative, it would eventually somehow find its way, the blame being placed on the meter readers. So hopefully we can talk and get into all of that and chat. And there's a report that container loads of these gadgets that are going to be affixed to the meters and to make it more accurate. But some of the accuracies or inaccuracies that were mentioned are troubling. And I'm going to try to explain it and let him explain it when he calls in. And that is, I think that's him now. Aloha and welcome to Talk808.com. Is this Nathan?
Yes, it is, Cal.
Hey, you're coming in loud and clear. Thank you for calling in. Hey, I was making an introduction and just tossing out some of the things that that caught my attention and we've been working on over the years. But go ahead and introduce yourself, if you would, and give us some idea of what you want to share with us as innocent people with all the money that we tend to be giving to the Board of Water Supply. So go ahead, and if you would, tell us something about yourself and some of the insights that you have here about the Board of Water Supply.
Well, what I wanted to do, my name is Nathan Cowell. I've been a meter reader at Board of Water Supply for 37 years. I just retired at the end of last month. And I wanted to share some of the information that I have that you never hear on the news because they're actually covering it up. And basically what it's all about is we started automatic meter reading in 2000. And the thing that bothered me the most was the fact that when they were looking at a company to buy the automatic meter reading equipment from, The first thing we heard was it's going to cost $22 million. Then I found out later from people in finance that it was closer to $33 million. So that was the first inaccuracy that I heard of.
And this is specifically inaccuracy on what was the information that was being that is inaccurate.
Right. Well, they were saying that it only cost $22 million because they didn't want them to think that was they were wasting a lot of money. But when I asked around and I said, well, that's a lot of money. And they go, oh, no, that's not the full amount. The full amount is $33 million. And I said, what? I said, why would you lie about something like that? Well, I guess they had something to hide. Then as they were installing this system that they bought, the company that was installing the equipment was called Mega Construction. And what they did is they hired a lot of retired bottled water supply workers. And these workers would come back because we knew them all and say, you know, this is really a piece of work. I said, what do you mean? He says, every time we test what we install, 33 to 35% of the meters don't read. I said, what do you mean it doesn't read? He said, it doesn't give whatever the reading is on the meter. I said, really? So I said, well, I guess this is not going to be one of them that they're going to choose. He says, I don't know, man. We're installing the whole thing. And what they did is they set up a test site on Mililani Malka. And I think it was OE Street, OI Street, inside that area. And we went up and checked it, and we ran some tests, and they were right. Approximately one-third to 35% would not read, and so they were working on it. Finally, they said, okay, we're ready. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a test run and run a full reading in this test site. So we went up there and we ran the test, and 33 to 35% did not read.
And when was this, did this take place, this incident?
Around 2000.
Okay. The first inception of the AMR is in, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
It was about the year 2000. That's approximately when we started. Now, the interesting thing was after we ran the test and so many meters failed, they decided to buy it.
Even with that failure, they decided to go ahead with the AMRs.
Yes, they did. And the thing about it is, I'm a radio repairman from the Army. I work for Radio Shack. I work for Sanyo Fisher. I work for Panasonic. And I'm pretty well versed with electronics. And I happened to ask, because at the time I was working for Panasonic, I asked them, I said, you know, when you're introducing a new product, I said, you know, you must have some kind of criteria to determine if you're going to release the product. I said, so is there a failure rate that is okay, you know, that you will accept as reasonable? And the guy told me 2 to 3%. I said, failure rate? He goes, yes. That's all they allow, because it's not worth releasing something with more than that. But at Border Water Supply, we have a different criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been going with the same system with high misreads. And the thing that's been bothering me is they've been blaming the meter readers.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me disturb you 1 second. Go back to this. Because it didn't settle in with me till just now. You're saying that they acknowledged the failure, and they told
uh-huh.
you the 2%. They said that we're going to go with it anyway. Give us a little more clarity on that one.
Okay, no. The 2 to 3% was from the guy from Panasonic.
That's...
But the fact that... so many failed, and they were willing to buy
uh-huh.
the system anyway.
Right.
Kind of set me off, because I'm one of those guys got to pay the bill, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're giving us free. So, you know, yes, I was upset about it. But see, the neat thing is they found a way to alleviate some of the problems, because the meter readers were complaining about that. You know, there's too many errors. See, and the thing is, they kept putting more and more work on it on us, because they made it our job to figure out what was wrong with that. And we're not repairmen. But the meter readers always, every time you see it on TV, well, the meter readers could not. What do you mean we could not? You bought the system, not us.
Let me
ask. It was conveniently our responsibility, and since we didn't have any access to the media.
Yeah, let me ask you. Let me ask you this, and hold that thought for, because what I want to do is try. If you could describe in 2000, before they brought in the AMRs, what was the process then? You know, you as a meter reader, what did that involve? Can you describe what the system we relied on then, before the introduction of this AMR? What would it involve until in a day's work of a meter reader? How did we know to charge the public for amount of water? Can you walk us through that? So give us the basic, first of all, and then we can see how then we start to wed up or marry up these new new practices and new machines and all readers and whatever. So if you would do that for me, please.
So when I started meter reading at Board of Water Supply, it was completely manual. We were given books with a certain amount of meters in them, and I would rate, they would run from about 250 meters to about 400.
Okay.
And we would manually open every cover and read every meter. Now, there's some inherent problems with that system, is because it's at whatever, however clean the meter is going to determine how accurate your reading is. So if you cannot see through the glass because of various problems, one of the problems was dirt on the cover or on the glass or the plastic of the meter. The other thing is when you go out, it's the weather conditions. Now, we're writing down on, like, an almost cardboard-like sheet of paper. But once it gets wet, you know, you start digging into the paper. You know, it starts tearing the paper. So we had many problems that way. And the fact is, we had to subtract every meter reading ourselves. And we didn't have, you know, computers or calculators to do that. So we had to do it on the run while we were reading. We had to do that also. And they used to complain about it. And so I said, if you're going to complain about it, tell me, what is the maximum amount of errors we can make? Because I said, you know, you got to have something. Yeah. And they couldn't answer my question. Well, what was the, because they said, well, you know, you guys make too many errors. I said, okay, how many errors? So, well, you made eight. I said, okay, eight out of how many? Well, 350. I said, what percentage is that? I said, that's a little bit more than 2%. I said, okay, if it's 2%, all the people who are sitting down in the offices and doing work, what is their percentage? And they had no answer for me. I said, you know, if you're going to hold us to a standard, you got to hold everybody to the same standard.
Because it's, you want quality work, checks and balances, right?
Right. And they couldn't give me an answer. And in when it came down to it, they found out that 2% was actually pretty good. I said, now, if we talking about 50% or 25%, I can see where you'd be, you know, concerned. But, you know, 2-3%, that's nothing.
So 2% by manually reading it is what was expected or anticipated on any given day. With that list,
in actuality, they expected better than that.
Oh, of course, because they're taking money from people, charging them for a service. So you would want to be as accurate as you can. But we know human error and all other factors that may present themselves. But what when you say 300 to 400 addresses or meters per, was that per day or that book that they gave you? How long did you have to, were you allowed to take for that? That number?
Well, it was all preset. Because we're walking and in a lot of areas that have no sidewalk and it's slippery, it's wet, you know, they had a preset amount.
Uh-huh.
And as the technology got better, we got more and more meters. That's how we got the 400, because most of the time it was, when I started, it was up to 325 in the number of meters. Then they started adding more and more. But the funny thing about it is Board of Water Supply never took into account the distance you got to travel.
Uh-huh.
Because to drive from town to Wailua or Waianae, in fact, it takes about an hour to drive from 630 South Barataria to Haula.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't care. All they cared about is you read the meters and we'll tell you when and how much to read. So there were a lot of adjustments we had to make.
I see. So sometimes a guy wouldn't make the full route. That, and the number, again, I wanted to clarify, the number that they gave you, was that to be done in a day, a week, or
a day.
So 300 to 400 a day.
Yes.
And that would be 1 hour if Haula area, 1 hour there, 1 hour back. You got 6 hours left, then you got lunch, then you got all the elements that you mentioned.
So, when I started, we had Ukupau.
Okay.
And the Ukupau, all it tells you is you finish your work, you can go home. Because of the fact that Water Water Supply couldn't supply us with break areas or restroom facilities, we were pretty much on our own. You have to find your own. So that's how the Ukupau came into play.
Meaning you could charge, get overtime, and or if you completed your work in a certain allotted of time, or 8 hour period, you could go home.
The now, faster you walk, the sooner you can go home.
Was there some inherent or acts that were on the part of the meter readers that would probably not complete the route, but indicate that they did in inner numbers? Was that a possibility?
It was a possibility, but I had a supervisor who took care of that, and his name was Dane Sakaira.
Uh-huh.
And what he would do is the books that we took out, he would collect them all and random check the readings.
Okay.
So we had checks and balances. So, I mean, that was a lot better than a lot of other ways I've seen them do it.
Okay. So now we got that basic foundation laid out of what it was like before the AMR, automatic meter readers. Now the meter readers come in, and you're saying that it was detected 33% failure or inaccuracies. And then how did they compensate for the inaccuracies? Were they just estimating the bills? You know, they were a process of estimating bills. When was that introduced, or did you guys see that?
Well, okay. Let me explain something to you. They never used to estimate bills initially.
Uh-huh.
We'd come back with, say, 1500 meters. They actually wanted to keep only 3 meter readers, and they were forced to keep 2 because there was me and this other guy, Ben, who were left over. So they gave us the duty of reading the meters that were not read by the machine. Okay, so we, between Ben and I, would read 150 meters each. And out of the 1,500, that means 1,200 weren't read. They were estimated.
And when, what time of frame was this, in 2001?
This was between 2000 and about 2005.
Okay.
For that, those years, they didn't even bother to pretend they were reading. Yes, so that's how it went for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had pretty much set routes, and we could finish in a good time. So there wasn't much complaints. It was when they started adding more and more and more. So that's when we started running into problems, because some of the areas that we read are dangerous. And in fact, for over 30 years, I was fighting with Board of Water Supply for hazard pay.
Uh-huh.
Because we were working in areas where the traffic on the North Shore, especially, they're going 35 mile an hour plus, and there's no sidewalks or anything. So we got to dig up the meters that we find with our hooks, because we're not supposed to do any blue-collar work.
Uh-huh.
And more they kept pushing us to do it, but I said, you know, there's a problem. You guys and the UPW guys say, no, we're not supposed to, but they want to go behind UPW's back and make us do it.
Exposing you to all the risk of traffic and dog bites and every other thing.
Yeah. Well, I've been chased down the road by 11 dogs, so it's happened more than once. I got bitten 6 times.
And no hazardous pay.
Beg your pardon?
No hazard pay.
None. They say we gotta justify everything. I said, I know one of your what you recommend is if it's over 35 miles an hour, they're supposed to get so much hazard pay. I said, all North Shore is like that. Because we're walking from in hazardous areas all throughout the island, because it doesn't matter if it's got sidewalks or not, people don't watch for us. In fact, they got meters in the middle of the road, and they want us to read it.
And was this commercial property or regular residence?
Well, this is, okay, as an example, Kanehoe Bay Drive.
Okay.
There's a lot of meters that are on slanted areas, where if it's a little damp, you slide into the road. But when your supervisor has never read a meter in his life, you know, our the head of finance is our boss, and he's telling you, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, but he's never done it.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't know what you're going through, and this is pretty common. He's telling you, you got to go do this. And if you do it and you die, you know, so what?
Uh-huh. Now, going back to the AMRs, there's a couple of things I definitely want to hear you on regarding the use of contracted workers, but we'll hold off for that for a minute. But the AMR, so we know we're seeing a 33, as you say, you say that 33%, let's say, failure, inaccuracies.
Yeah. Well, we've stood right next to the meter.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us terminals to go read them. And you hit the terminal, the thing reads. It comes back with the reading plus the symbol B. That means that was read by the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And that cannot be subtracted from the last reading, which is supposed to be lower than the reading we get now.
So it can't be subtracted. So you get a meter reading with the terminal, and it cannot be subtracted from the meter reader, the actual reading?
Yes, and that happened quite often. The other thing is sometimes you hit the enter button, and instead of a number, you get like four H's.
And what was that representing?
That I have no idea. Nobody could explain that to me. I've had B's, everything but the reading. But, of course, it's our fault.
And so the reading should come back with numerical symbols, right, rather than alphabetical.
Yes.
Subtract. It's supposed to what now? Let's make sure the listener can understand this. So the meter last month had read 1,000 gallons.
Yeah.
And this month you go back to read it, and it has, you go ahead and describe.
You might go and then see four H's, and you go, okay, what is that? So we cannot read it. We don't know what it's supposed to be until we end up popping the cover again,
mm-hmm.
physically reading the meter. So actually, in a lot of cases, it made more work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's wrong readings, and instead of being able to read and just go by, you end up popping the cover or opening the cover. That's if the cover's not stuck. And making more work for you. A lot of times they want you to go, why do you think this thing did that? You know, that's not my job. My job is not to fix it.
Right.
Not to explore why it doesn't work. That's your guys' job.
So you would go back with the H's. It would automatically record in that once a terminal records it. What would happen to those alphabets or that reading? You would, if you couldn't fix it, you'd take it back and report it as part of the reading?
No, we just show them that this is what happened. But because we're being blamed for so many, we'd take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we made it up.
And so
I said, you know, we're going to a paperless office. So why are we taking all these pictures? Because actually what they did is they more than tripled our work, because now we're taking pictures of the various meters instead of just walking and reading the meters, which is our actual job.
And so when you would take the picture, you would deliver the picture to the office that calculate the billing?
No, that's extra work, because we got to go back, download the pictures,
okay,
print them out, attach them to our work. So it's more than tripling our work.
But what I'm trying to focus on, I understand that part, but as relating to the charges, the finances of this, so you take the picture, it won't give you an accurate reading, it gives you alphabets rather than numbers, and then so you can't subtract or calculate the actual usage of the building. You go back to the office, download the pictures, submit the pictures as part of a report. How do they become accurate in deciding accurately what to charge that ratepayer at that meter that only read alphabets?
Well, actually, what they do is they put pressure on the pre-audit girls, because the pre-audit girls got a lot of times they will send it off again. So instead of reading the meter once, you got to read the meter sometimes two times or three times, because they're trying to protect themselves too, because they're getting something that says, there's an error when you're doing this, so you have to go back and verify the reading.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times they send it out, come back with the same reading, because it's the same meter they're reading. but they're adding extra work, and it's adding to the meter reader's time on the route.
Right. But what happens
now
to
that meters are further and further apart because they're upgrading the meters. So the meters, instead of being next to each other, you might have one here and one on the next block.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking more and more time. They want you to do more and more work. And they say, if you don't want to do the time, that's your problem. But see, a lot of time the guys cannot finish the routes that they're assigned because
of the
length of the route.
Uh-huh.
But that's your problem, not theirs.
Okay, so I got that part. What then happens? How do they come back and accurately bill the user of the water, the consumer? How is that ever resolved, or do they just pull a number out of the air? If you go back a second time and fail to get the right readings or get a numerical reading, where and when and how do they decide what to charge of the ratepayer?
What happened? I don't know about right now, but what they used to do was there were certain numbers they fed into the system, and they would estimate the reading.
Okay, and that would be within the 2000-2005 range years, right, or after 2005?
Yeah, in that area would be. And well, it might be till now, but I cannot say that I know that for sure.
But when you left there, what was the status then? That was in a year ago, was it? Or no? What you?
No, last month.
So what was the status? The current status within 2 months ago?
Well, they were still getting estimated readings, and although they try to eliminate it, the only way they eliminate it is by sending the same people to read the same meters to get the same reading, and they're stuck. But it's our fault because mm-hmm. we got the reading.
What percentage of instances would you say that this has happened, where the numbers don't read out, they just give you alphabet, so it's not accurately reading? Is that the 33%? 33.3%?
The alphabets are a part of the problem. Sometimes they'll give you the reading, but it still can't be subtracted, or, you know, it's not even the same reading sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So,
as an example, it might be 200 something that you see on the meter, but on the reading you get like 1,000 something. So that's a high reading. But you know, we don't take care of that problem. The problem comes goes to the pre-audit girls who are overworked too, because they got to do more work because of the errors coming back.
So
it's, you know, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And instead of fixing the problem, I said, you know what, we didn't have very many mistakes or errors when we manually read the meters. And the suggestion was always open to do it manually. But see, Board of Water Supply, in all their wisdom, in all of their wisdom, said, no, we don't need to go back to manual reading.
You're quite generous to them. You calling, describing it as wisdom.
there's different levels of wisdom. This is not very.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare just completely when it comes to what we're being charged. And there was such a debate as to the estimating bills. And now you're explaining, giving us some basis of why all this may have started to happen. And it seems to be cloaked in layers of people doing things and not really resolving the issues, because they can estimate.
Our bosses are not taking care of the problem.
Uh-huh.
The problem is the equipment we got sucks. It doesn't work properly. So instead of spending money and alleviating that problem by buying proper equipment. Now, I'm not sure, but you can check, I think it was Kauai. They have a better system than us. They have less errors, all that stuff. I said, you know, they bought it when it, the AMR was a brand new technology. And you know about buying new cars. You don't buy the first model.
Right. The bugs hadn't been shaken out.
Yes, and that's what they did. They bought the first model, all these errors, and they just took it.
And so would you say that anything that they add to it now is just really not to be accurate, but try to patch up what's broken and then leaving with presenting more problems, would you say? Would that be inaccurate?
Well, that'd be very accurate because that's what they do. You have a problem with something, yeah, and you just fix it. And if it doesn't fix, you just continue to go. And they keep giving us the same problems, and they keep blaming us, or they say, well, you know, you guys doing it wrong. How can we do it wrong? All you do is press the button.
Mm-hmm.
So if I press the button and it gives me a wrong reading, it's my fault.
So they divert the attention to their inability to manage and pick the right equipment and the equipment that's failing by...
Well, it all goes to the top.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody you talk to is going, well, they don't want to change. Okay, so who's they? The boss. Okay, the boss doesn't want to change. So you're stuck because, one, they're blaming you, and you can't say anything because... Who's going to listen to you?
Right.
They're assigning you your duties. And when they came in and they assigned the meter readers the duties, they don't check what the duties are already. They just add their garbage onto you. And so the bosses that we have, they're stuck. They have their job to do. As an example, the supervisor of the meter readers, their job is not to punch in, oh, you got to take this route and do this and split the route so that it's even. I said, no, because what they do is when the new meters come in, they're supposed to go out in the field and physically locate them into the correct spot so that they're read correctly. Because we have sometimes where you go on one street and you're reading, and you get to the end, and you got to go back to where you just came from and read a meter that they missed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you go back to that, and then you got to continue on where you just left off. So that could be 15 minutes just on one meter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's your fault.
So that's a luxury that they have when everything else fails, all of their new fangled equipment that they boast about and the papers that they're putting new meters, ECC, I think it's ECCRs or whatever they call them.
ECRs.
ECRs, and it sounds great in the paper and TV when they're standing there giving this exhibition, but the reality is it's still broken. And you folks being the meter readers, are the ones you get the blame because nobody's going to question you about what the real truth is because the media doesn't bother to follow up because of the nature of the beast here in this town, the Board of Water Supply being semi-autonomous with the city. It is a city agency as well as a private agency. So,
well, they never asked the horse why you lost the race. But I'll tell you what is one of the biggest problems that we have. We cannot even identify the meters. Because what the meters in the old days when I started, the meter number was right on top the cap of the meter.
Mm-hmm.
So you pop open the cover, you immediately see the meter number you're reading.
In the old days.
Yes. Now there's no cap. So what they were doing for a while was they were putting the meter number on a piece of plastic-lined paper. and the ECR number, so you know where you are. Now we come up to the meter and we pop it open. There's no information to tell us what meter we're reading. And so when there's mistakes, it's automatically our fault because we read the wrong meter.
Because it's not accurately or adequately presenting itself where you can clearly determine whose meter is what. This meter goes to this address, or this is meter B64 or whatever. I understand that. But so you're having to carry the weight of that and be used as an scapegoat. Now, there is another addition to this or element of this, and that is the temporary hires or contract hires.
Okay.
What are the downsides? What are the good things about the temporary hires, and how does it impact the regular full-time readers, if you could? And then how are they using the contractors to hide the shortcomings of and the inaccuracies in the estimation of the bills?
Well, this is why they did it this way. Now, they were warned, because I was shop steward for many years of the meter readers. And I warned management, all the various ones, that you cannot do that. That's illegal. You cannot hire civil service positions as contract hire. And it says so. It says that if there is a position that is there, excuse me, and it's a civil service position, you cannot hire temporary workers like they were doing. Because it says that you must hire civil service.
Uh-huh.
Now, they could, they can use temporary hires, but they cannot use the kind that they were using for the meter readers. Because they didn't want to give that meter reader ukupau, they consider it an antiquated work unit.
Uh-huh.
But I said, you see, you arbitrarily saying this thing doesn't work. And I said, it does work. It's just that you won't recognize it because you've never done it. When I started, I used to finish. We started about 8 o'clock, and we read until we're done. And I started at 8 o'clock. 2 o'clock, I'm still going. And we finish it. The latest we can finish is at 3:30. Now, I was getting into trouble because they had to have the new handhelds back by 12:30 so they could download the information and upload the new route for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we had all kind of problems because of this, and it was always on the meter reader. Ever since I've been at Water Supply, it was always the meter reader's fault. It was never management's fault, because you know, they're godlike.
But the reality is that there were problems, and it wasn't, sounds like the importance was placed on covering it up or passing the blame rather than fixing it.
Well, they only wanted productivity, period. All the blame, oh, well, this happened. Well, I mean, there's so many different things that can happen on a day. I've gone out, and they tell me, this guy forgot his terminal in the office. I was one of the few meter readers who would just tell him, I said, okay, you take mine. Give me a piece of paper. I'll go read all of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the whole route, except I missed 20. I missed one lane. But I read every other meter. And the readings all matched.
And then you would go back and take his terminal that he left at the building, and enter
and
that,
I'd fill it in.
And you would fill it in.
Yes. And but that's how it was before, because when we were transitioning over to the automatic meter reading, we had already knew what they were doing. They had more than 5 years, you know, doing the their job. But they were so intent of getting rid of the meter readers, they just caught them. They put them into other areas in water supply. There's some still there besides me. And instead of seeing how we used to do it by asking the other meter readers who used to do it that way, they insist on using their own experience, which is zero, and telling you what to do. And they don't know what you do.
Mm-hmm. And so can you describe the difference between a private contracting meter reader opposed to a full-time meter reader, and what are some of the inadequacies or disparities? Which ones get what, and how are the temporary meter readers being cheated, afforded medical or anything like that? And can you talk about that, on some of the good, the bad, the ugly? About
Well, a lot of the meter readers were not paid what they were supposed to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they would hire them at different... I was talking to two meter readers outside, and I was asking them, I said, what SR did they hire you at? The one told me SR8. I said, okay, that's entry level. Then the other one tells me SR10, and I'm going, wait a minute. There's no SR8 work because that's only entry level. In actuality, there's no SR8. I said, the SR10, there's no more routes that are considered SR10. So they're not working any particular one. I said, because all the meter readers do now is SR12 work. So in actuality, the SR8 and the SR10 supposed to be paid SR12 pay.
And what does the duties of the SR-12 entail?
Well, it does. They're supposed to read the follow-up and the monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're doing anyway as their regular job, but they're only getting paid SR-8 and SR-10. So Board of Water Supply is saving a lot of money because they do that. But the problem is they're violating federal law. You cannot do that. And they haven't addressed that till this day.
You have a lawsuit, or not a hearing schedule, or a complaint file. I was trying to get the date of that.
I believe it's December 2017.
Yeah, December 8th, 2017. I've just found it. And so what's the status of that
Nobody
complaint?
Knows because when I went personally down to... label board, and they don't show it at all. Now, if you look, there's a verification number or something on the document.
Right.
But when I took it down there and I asked the person who was working there, just one of the clerks, he said, I don't see this. So I really don't know what happened. And that's all. That's the union filed that, not me.
Mm-hmm. So with the environment that you witness and know about in the Board of Water Supply, do you think that it has any impact on the accuracy, or does it cheat or deprive the ratepayer of anything? Should we be worried? And if so,
sure. You should be worried because you're not getting accurate bills. And if it's too high, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they care?
So
they already raised their rates that they can afford anyway without raising the rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I say, you know, if they call me a liar, fine. Go to an audit. That's all I can say. Go to an audit. Because people from finance have told me that, yeah, we have more than enough money. There's no need to raise the rate. But I have a feeling they have different plans for the money.
Uh-huh. And what's your suspicion?
Well, either that or somebody's getting rich.
Mm-hmm. So temporary hires, and how long does a temporary hire in the normal definition?
Well, according to civil service, you're only supposed to do it if you have written permission from the Director of Human Services, which they don't have, because I asked. I wanted to see. They won't even give them a copy of the contract that they signed because they're hiding it.
When you say they, meaning who would be they that are hiding it?
The uppers at HR. That's all I can say, because when we ask for the documentation, we don't have that.
But they continue to hire contract meter readers.
Yes. Well, now, since they got caught, they say, we just created the position. They wanted me to leave, and that's why they're harassing me, is they were wanting me to leave because I had the Ukupau position. And as long as that was there, it was a threat to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's nothing wrong with the Ukupau. It's the guys who's running the show. They don't know what they're doing.
So
everybody that... Well, when you have your boss come to you and say, wow, I went out with the meter readers a couple of times. I said, so how many meters you read? Zero.
So
his boss, how many did you read? Zero.
Mm.
How can you tell me, who's read 500,000 at least, how to do my job? You have no idea what we face.
Mm-hmm.
When the customer is irate, we cannot run away. We cannot hang up the phone. We're there. They're yelling at us. Now it's much better because they understand that our bosses are not the brightest light in the sky.
Or it sounds like a lot of other things come into play. But what would you say, knowing what you know, if on a scale of 1 to 10, should the ratepayer trust this whole process, and that it, if you're looking at what you know now and what you know about the current status of the AMRs and what have you, should the ratepayer worry that they're being cheated?
Well, you know, I was never a big fan of the way Sitting County does things. But when the bosses are the crooks, and they are as far as I'm concerned, how do you protect it? Because you don't take the word of your workers because they're disgruntled workers. That's what you always hear. The workers are disgruntled, so they're not going to give you a correct picture.
Mm-hmm.
But what if the bosses are the problem?
Mm-hmm.
What if they hire their friends to be like head of finance or stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you prevent that? Because they do what they want to do, but you cannot do what you want to do. You do what we call the Manini stuff. Oh, okay, well, you stayed 5 minutes over your break time, so I'm going to write you up. But what if the boss is cheating and violating the rules, civil service rules, which are supposedly against the law?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then?
Yeah.
That's what's been happening. And what can we do? Nobody wants to talk to us. I've tried to go down to the news stations 3 different times, and I cannot even get in the front door.
Well, you're in the front door now. We'll get the word out. It's one of those things where we got to be careful and not suggest that we just don't agree with them. And they're taking some action. It's a matter of we think they could do it different than what where it make a difference is when we can show that the ratepayer, the person that's being charged for a monthly water bill, is being cheated. And then if we can lay out why, the incentive is to make more money. But secondly, to cover up, and to knowing that the meters are broken, and knowing that the accuracy, inaccuracies of reading some in some instances is wrong. So that's what they fear.
Well, they should fear some more, because we've gone and say they changed the meter, and we can tell because all of a sudden the reading is zero. So maybe it was 1500 last time. When we go back, it's a completely different meter inside there, and it's zero. Okay, so we go maybe 6 months, so we get six readings, and all of a sudden it's like, say, 100 instead of zero. The next time we go back, it's zero again. You know why? They changed the meter.
Because the meter is not, they change it because the meter is not working?
Yeah, and this happens quite often. It's not rare.
So is that ratepayer then notified that there's adjustments, or what is the adjustments made in favor of the board of water supply, or is the adjustments made in favor of the ratepayer?
Well, the only thing I know about adjustments is water supply has to give them the approval. And they can decide not to give you an adjustment, because they always make like it's the customer who's the cook. But you know what? I believe a lot of time water supply is the cook. Because the guy's complaining something is wrong because my reading shouldn't be this high. Because guys, they go on vacation, they turn off the water. They come back and they get billed. Now, how come my water's off? And we look at the reading didn't move. So why are they getting a bill?
So did you hear anything about the import? They purchased container loads of meters, AMRs or EERs or whatever, ECRs.
Yeah.
Is that true? And then I'm told that they don't work, or there's some conflict with the... you have any information on that?
I've only heard. I haven't seen the equipment myself, but that would be Tiger Team. Tiger Team would know. And I do know some people. And I can go check.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, I really don't want anybody to get in trouble. And I'm talking about workers. I'm not talking about bosses. I don't care if they get in trouble. I wish they go to jail. Because what they're doing is a crime.
Well, they wouldn't get in trouble if they were just call and let us know anonymously. Because and in that system, they're going to retaliate. They're the type of people, they don't care who they harm anyway. They just want to cover their butts.
Yeah, and all they've been doing.
Yeah. So the retaliation, what I would say to most people out there, if people are inclined to retaliate against you for coming forward with the truth, then they will retaliate against you without you. They will always guard it against trying, because they're doing something wrong. And they know they're stealing from the public, so you don't have to come forward. In fact, I've known in certain situations where they just make an example of take an innocent employee and make an example of him to teach the others. There, if you step out of line, this is what can happen.
Well, they've done it to me.
They've
done it to me when you're making a change in how things are run. You have to do it in writing.
Right.
But I'll give you an example. When we do AMR, I was told all of a sudden that you have to turn on the computer by 8 o'clock.
The computer is located where?
In the car with you.
Okay.
See, that's the other thing, because we're not supposed to ride around with electronic equipment on in the car. example, you cannot touch your GPS. You're not supposed to touch your stereo. You're not supposed to do this. But we can drive in our car with computers on and running. And we're supposed to monitor these computers while we're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who's going to get the ticket? The meter reader.
And yet you can't use your phone.
The one driving the car. But it's your boss telling you, you got to do it or you're fired. That's why contract workers are really good. They cannot deny you.
So it's common practice then? Would you say that that computer is on all the time and they're distracted with that?
Yeah.
And they're driving and actually describe what goes on there, if you would.
Okay. They used to make me do that too. But see, the thing is, I told them, I just drive. I don't look at the computer. I just drive. I drive the route. I come back. And whatever reading it is. Okay? How many it's read or whatnot. And they tell me, no, that's wrong. They want me to drive slower than traffic so I can get an obstruction of traffic violation. They're telling all the new meter readers, and you can drive any way you want. Because nobody trains you. None of them been properly trained because there was nobody who was qualified to train.
So
they were telling guys who were contract workers to go train contract workers that followed them. Now, how can they be trained if the guy just learned how? But that's how water supply is.
Mm-hmm.
Save money. Never mind the meter readers get turned in because it's not Daryl Corley getting the ticket. It's us.
So you get in your car, the computer is in there, you turn it on.
You put it in.
And you put the computer in the car.
Yeah, because they're afraid that somebody's going to steal them.
Right.
And I said, this is the funnest thing ever. I said, we have... Since water supply has been in, since I've been there, they all had the Motorola working radios, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay, none been stolen. So now they say, oh, okay, because we have these AMR transmitters and everything, you got to load them in every day, and they're heavy. They're not light.
So this computer is,
yeah.
You bring it out of the office, put it in the car, plug it in, and
yeah.
Then you go to the route and you turn it on. No, you
yes.
Turn it on before you leave the yard?
No, when you reach the area that you're going to read, then you turn it on.
And then you drive at a certain rate or whatever, and the meters are sending a signal to the computer.
Right, it's answering. What happens is when the vehicle with the transmitter comes into range, it sends out a signal that wakes up all the ECRs, and
uh-huh.
Then it starts reading them. Now, they're saying that, well, you're not reading enough. Hey, I refuse to listen to that because I said, that's not my problem. That's your problem. You fix the meters, not me. He said, well, you know, you're supposed to read more. I said, hey, if the thing doesn't pick up, that's your fault, not mine.
Uh-huh.
But they don't care.
So how often do you find on any given day the rejection or the meter not reading in this
well, you see, when
using
you drive,
this method?
You drive and then you get to the end and then you read back how many that picked up and how many didn't.
And generally, how many would you say if there's a major discrepancy?
Well, I got written up for one. I was reading 8,500 meters, which is an extremely large number, because most of them were reading about 3,500. Now, the area I was reading was from Makakilo to Waianae, then to Campbell Industrial and Kapolei. I wasn't even supposed to read all those meters. It's
uh-huh.
Actually like at least two and a half routes, but they gave it to me, and they wrote me up because they said I didn't finish it. And I said that wasn't my job to go over there and finish
mm-hmm.
it.
So
8,500 just too much.
Of that 8,500, how many in that instance, that situation failed or did not get a reading?
I don't remember exactly. It's probably around 3,000.
Out of the 8,500, 3,000 didn't get a reading.
Probably.
So then that number would be in the computer now, and then you would go back, hand the computer to them, and they download the information,
yeah.
And then they would estimate? Or how would they, if it didn't get a good reading, how would they have adopt the charges or make?
That was probably done by the computer.
But it would have to, then the numbers, I mean, or is it just a...
Well, there was too many not read for them to, and besides that, I was told to turn off the computer after I finished Campbell, and so I don't know how many left there was in Kapolei.
So you didn't get a chance to finish the Kapolei.
Well, I wasn't supposed to read that many meters. And I was told that by my boss. And, of course, he denied he said that. But, hey, whatever.
But the bottom line is there's inaccuracies in the ECRs are not accurately being picked up by or sending signals to the computer. So there's a problem for sure, right? We can say that safely.
Oh, yes. Very safely.
And how about commercial, when you say you were in Campbell Industrial Park? Now, that rings a bell and suggests that it was all commercial meters.
Well, we read all, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hotels are considered commercial, too. And we read coal, you know.
So there's a major chance, a good chance of them making a lot of money. They're not going to cheat themselves, you think. The Board of Water Supply is not going to err in favor of the... ratepayer.
Well, let me put it to you this way. The commercial ones pay more attention than the homeowners. If they think the meter is slightly off, they'll call, because we're not talking small money.
Yeah, that's why I was jumping on that one. That was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And have
but,
they...
That's how it's done, though.
Have they complained that they, being commercial ratepayers?
Well, I've been at several desks when they call in and they say, well, you know, we have this problem. Because we had certain people who would handle the big clients, and it tended to be the more experienced clerks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was many times when I'm standing there and I can hear them talking, they go, you know, but the reading looks suspiciously high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Now, as far as this is kind of a crazy question, you don't have to answer it or pay attention to it, but comparing the ratepayer, the commercial ratepayer, and the home, how many do you think is more likely to receive relief and their explanation accepted?
Most likely will be the commercial.
Who?
Because they'll send their boys, their maintenance boys, to go read the meter.
Uh-huh.
I would tell my customers, because I had actually quite a few people I knew, because especially the retirees, they'd be, you know, watering their yard or whatever when I come by.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk. And they would ask me. I said, you know what, if I were you, every time you get your bill, go outside, read your meter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the safest way. It's because normally it's within 5 days of when we read physically in those days.
But
so
now
if we read them within 5 days, it should be a little bit higher when they go out to read it, but it should be close.
But now they can't read it. The AMRs and the ECRs makes it a
little different.
No, they
still can read it.
They still
can. I tell them to read it. When they get their bill, go read it.
So what would you recommend to a residential ratepayer? What measures could they do to safeguard themselves against cheating, them being cheated?
Read the meter every time they get a bill.
So they would, if they get a bill, they look at it and say it's 15,000 gallons. Then they go out and look to see the dial.
To see if it's matching.
But quite naturally, it'll be higher than, should be higher
a
than.
A little bit higher, but it shouldn't be that much because we're reading by the month now.
Okay. And so if you show 15,000 gallons in April, you go back out there and you get your bill in May and it's charging you for another 22,000. You can actually compare those two, right?
Yes, and you can compare the usage.
And subtract.
Yeah. You can. Most of the customers I spoke to, I taught them how to read the meter.
Okay. Walk us through if you can, for somebody that's listening now, what should they do?
Okay, most of their meters are the small meters, O2s, possibly O3s. That's the size. And the O2s, I think, is half-inch pipe. So they go inside there, and you read it like an odometer, like your car odometer. The first four numbers on the left are the numbers we bill by. We do not bill by the ones on the right of the decimal point. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's the first one on the left is 1, then the next one is 10, then the next one is 100 to 1,000. And we only bill by 1,000 gallons. So all they got to do is they're going to look at the bill. It should be 4 digits. As an example, it's 350, and the day you read yours is 351. Should be just about right.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be too much higher, especially if you don't use that much. You don't have a large family. All they got to do is make sure the reading matches what they got billed for.
Right.
And that's simple subtraction. If you cannot subtract, there is a problem.
Okay. Well, Nathan, I appreciate you sharing all of this with us, and we'll get together and do the TV story on Olelo and get the word out. And is there anything else you want to talk about in this section?
Well, we can always do it another day.
Okay. Well, if you have any closing remarks on this one, go ahead and tell us what. And you're going to try to pursue this still yet, the hearing on the, or being that you retired, you pretty much pow with this?
I really don't know. I'm playing this by ear because I don't know what the future brings, because I've been fighting this for many years. It's not like I just started. So I would like the contract workers to get monetarily what they're due. And I want my money back, too.
Mm-hmm.
All the BS that they've been throwing at me. But for the contract workers to get their money, because they're low pay anyway. They get the lowest rate. And they've been being cheated by a bottled water supply for all these years. Some of them, 14 years, without raises and stuff because they're contract workers.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that all the people who were involved in this should go to jail.
Because they're knowingly ripping off for excessive charging excessively.
No, I don't believe it should be charged as a white collar. I don't want them to go and, I'm going to go to this place where, I can play tennis. And that's bullshit. You go where everybody else go. You go to jail, real jail.
Mm-hmm.
because that's what they're trying to do with all these so-called white-collar crime guys. I said, the rest of us, we go to jail if you survive the first month without getting licking. You're lucky.
Mm-hmm. You steal a donut from Walmart, the police, IUC, come and get you then.
Yeah.
And likely to end up shooting you. You steal from the people at the border water supply.
Exactly.
Nobody even know it happened.
Oh, no, that's a white-collar crime. So you know what? Can go kindergarten for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Go to Club Fed for it and sit around there and drink tea and
have
do your
fun.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was in prison for 5 years, and I got a hangnail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the white-collar crammers would say.
I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
I want to see somebody go jail. Real jail.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk some more.
And they eat your food and what you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk again soon, and I'll give you a call in the next day or so, and we'll make some arrangements. And Nathan, thank you. We appreciate you sharing with us.
Okay.
All righty. Aloha.
Aloha.
You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Aloha. Thanks, my guest, Nathan Cow, former Border Water Supply, Honolulu Border Water Supply employee, meter reader 12. Thank you.